Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Evangelist Shum Anderson, and today we'll be reading Does God Love Sinners Forever? The foundation scripture is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But before we get deep into that segment, I'll be reading a child's prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given me. Thank you for your Son that gave us liberty. We know his name is Jesus, the one who died for me. Our blessed Savior, his blood has set me free. Forgive us of our trespasses, wash all our sins away. Fill us with your Spirit, lead us every day. Please bless our family, they mean so much to me. And don't forget our teachers, they need a blessing too, for teaching us how to read. And all the things they do, the friends we have right now, and the ones we don't yet know, bless them every day and everywhere they go. Teach us to love everyone the same, and forever tell a lie, and for never and never tell a lie, or to curse or steal or blame. We will be careful in whatever we do. We want our lives to be an honor to you. We love you, Lord. We know you love us too. Please keep us safe this whole day through. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning, Aunt Deborah.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right, now I'm listening to you. Amen. Hello, I like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We love to quote the scriptures about how our Heavenly Father loves us more than we love our children. We love to tell our little Johnny, Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you on the cross of Calvary. He rose again and is now interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. He's coming back in the clouds of heaven to take you home with him forever. And ever, if you give your heart to him and become a Christian. But by the way, Johnny, if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, he'll burn you alive forever and ever and ever. Wow, can you imagine what Johnny must be thinking? Actually, what we're saying to Johnny is that God will get his vengeance by torturing him forever and ever and ever with no end to the punishment. For all the eons of time, further time, there's no way out for Johnny, even after a billion years of torment and hellfire. It's no wonder that when Johnny gets old enough to begin to think on his own, he has a distorted view of a true, natural, and character of our Heavenly Father and of the love he has for human beings. Instead of the loving God portrayed in the scriptures, his erroneous...
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead. That's your other Amy calling. Go ahead.
Instead of the loving God portrayed in the scriptures, his erroneous teaching gives Johnny the most cruel master without grace or mercy.
Thank you.
Hello? 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 Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 13. What about these verses? Charity, love, suffers long and is kind. Charity, love. Envious, not charity, love. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Certainly a God who would burn people forever doesn't seem long-suffering and kind. Any God who would devise a plan to torture people in hellfire for eternity will certainly seem to be thinking evil. It doesn't take Johnny long to rebel against the kind God. God says that he loves us more than they love their own children. And no earthly parent would punish his or her child by burning them in eternal fire. God says that he loves us more than we love our own children. I have yet to find an earthly parent who would be cruel enough to punish.
Regina.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tama.
How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. How you doing, darling?
I'm good.
Good. Time to get on and listen to you preach this morning, see what the Lord's going to say.
Well, I'm on the way.
Huh?
I said I'm on the way.
Okay.
By the majority of Christian churches today, it seems to me that why should be asking why. It's my prayer that everyone who reads this book will find the truth about the loving character of our gracious Almighty God. As we look at what the Bible says, we will come to know without a doubt that God is love. God's word tells us to study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we only serve to study the Bible, the devil is pleased. When we surface study means like you just go over, like you just read it. You just read it, but you don't get an understanding. So you're not even reading it for your own good. You're just reading it to please somebody. And so when you surface study, then the devil leaves because he knows that you're not getting anything out of it. How can God be a God of love and at the same time also be a terrible tyrant who is willing to torment people forever and ever?
Amen.
After hearing a Christian tell him that he would turn forever and ever if he didn't serve God, a non-Christian said, why would I want to serve a God who is much meaner than I am? I think that's a fair question.
Amen.
God has said we should study to show ourselves approved as solid workmen. So let's begin to study and lay a solid foundation from God's word. Let's start with John 3:16, probably the most quoted scripture in the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now let's look at that word perish. Those who don't believe in him will perish. What does he mean? The Webster Dictionary defines perish as the first definition, to die or be destroyed in a violent or untimely manner. The second definition, it's a pass from existence. Let's take an example. Many times we read in the newspaper about someone's house that has burned to the ground in a fire. We read that they've lost their house and all the perishables what were in it. What happened to these perishables, such as the furniture and photos and clothes and the other personal belongings? Once the house burns, does it continue to exist? Of course not. What about the furniture or the person's clothes that were in the house? Do these now exist somewhere else, or are they gone forever? The answer is obvious. If the house and its contents are indeed burned up, then they no longer exist. They have gone up in smoke, perished. Why then do so many Christians believe that when Jesus says those who refuse to believe on him will perish, that he really means they will go on existing in the fires of hell? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the serpent we may eat of. Oh, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Look at what is happening there in verse 3. Oh. Genesis 3, verse 1 to verse 5. That's where you can find what Adam and Eve, that story is mostly talking about. Okie dokie. So I have it right here. Okay. It says in Genesis chapter 3 to verse 1 to 5, it says, but about the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it or touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, no, you would not die at all. But God knows that whenever you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will like God, and you will like God, be knowing good and evil. The woman saw.
See, that's what man wants to do. Man have always thought to try and divide out the depth, the territory of God. That's why he was trying to build the Tower of Babel, because man always wanted. That's why they go to the moon, because they look in the sea. Can we really look up on God? You know, if we can't look on God, then we want to be like him. I mean, we want to be better than God. You know, I can do this. And that's Satan's plan today for people, is to try to divert that thinking. Like, you don't see God, you can do this on your own. You're always praying about something, just do it. And that's when we get into terror, when we begin to do what the devil says. Like the old lady in the convalescent home, she said the devil's trying to make a deal. You know, she said the devil is trying to make a deal. He was trying to make a deal with you when he told Jesus to turn these stones into bread. Nope, man can't be up by this bread alone, but by every word proceeding from the mouth of God. And on, the devil told him, if you do, if, not, I can't make you do sin, because 1 Thessalonians 4:16 said he would descend from heaven with an archangel at the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, you know, we thank God for challenge. Amen. I will open it up for answers and questions, recognition, tell child what you got out of this morning. Leo, go on. No, you're just preaching. You're just sitting there just running away. Okay, you all.
He's coming back.
Shama, open the line up to your auntie. That's your auntie right there. And,
is there any questions or any prayers that anybody wants to pray, or prayer requests or anything? Any questions?
Well, I just thank the Lord for this morning, for raking us up and guiding us on the right track of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for the Lord using you. You got all my blessings to your father, the bishop. I thank the Lord for each one of our family, that God is breaking the chains on each one of them. We need more prayer. And yes, I do need prayer, you know, because I don't never get enough prayer. I need more prayer. You keep praying for Amy, and I do the same for my loved ones. And I just love to hear your voice, and I thank God for using you, and many more blessings to you of your growing in the Christ of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Give him all the glory and praise.
Everything's going to be all right. Just don't worry about anything, and you'll be good.
Amen. I just want to say I give praises all to God. I just want to say, Shama, staying in the Word and praying, and let the Lord lead and guide you. For the Lord says that, and children, you know, train up a child while they're young. When they get older, they will not depart. So you have a leader. You have, first of all, Jesus Christ and the Lord, they're your daddy. And he was leading, guide you in the right direction, the narrow road. And I just want to say that pray for my family also, that we may get closer to the Lord. We all as family to love one another, you know. And I just want to say thank you for the Word of God. And I'm glad I got on the phone to hear you. Keep speaking the Word, and you will grow stronger in the Lord. And I thank you, and I praise all of you all. God bless you, and have a blessed, wonderful day.
You too. We will continue this part of the segment on when does the judgment take place. And my daddy, who's going to end out the service with the prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything you have rest, go get your food. Praise you, the Lord. Amen. We're grateful this morning. Thank you, Shama. You did well. We're grateful this morning. Amen. For Shama. Bringing us word this morning. We all need the word. If we can get the word in the morning time, because the enemy start on us when our foot hits the floor. But that's okay, though, because he may tempt or test us of some way, form, or fashion. But as long as we could keep coming back to God, eventually one day it won't be any power in that pain. It won't be any pain, no power in that thing that the enemy is putting on our children, putting on us. Because the Word of God said that whatsoever we think, say, or do, according to the power that worketh in me, I'm going to have what I say. So I'm learning to say what I desire and not otherwise. I'm not praying and speaking the situation. I'm speaking the problem. I'm speaking to my situation. Mark 11, 22-24. It's speak to your mountains. So I'm learning how to be more confident to speak to my mountains instead of broadcasting. You know, child, I'm going through. Child, you know, one of my eyelashes got to get taken off my face because it's bigger than the other. Any old thing, we have to broadcast what we hear. And the Word of God said, hear. You know, and then this dog, oh, I forgot. that even the dog, he has something to say. You want to say something, Leo? You sitting at your squad. I have to let him loose because if Shama start ministering in the Word, you know, he want to come sit right there, like if he getting stuff out of it, you know?
Amen.
And he sits there and he growls and grumbles and talk and say things like we both understand him. But I know when the anointing is going forth, you know, everything is affected because he said that everything that has breath brings along. So certainly the dog is breathing, you know, and he's alive. So I guess that's his praise, you know. Because when I tell him to shut up, he'll shut up for a little bit, but then it'd be like fire shut up in his bones. It'd be like fire shut up in his bones, and he can't hold it no more.
All right.
He started growling and grunting. Leo.
He's praising him.
Yep, that's Shama's dog. Shama did a video and put it on YouTube and put eyeglasses on him and had him like just talking.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll show it to you one day. But I do bless the Lord this morning. Amen. You know, it's good to have some fun. You know, people are too serious in the gospel. It's good to be serious about it, you know, but Jesus, you know, he had fun on his road because he was doing the Father's will. And if we're doing the Father's will, there ain't no pain in the upper room. There ain't no struggle. You know, it's an automatic. This thing here is just like putting your car in gear. You put the key in the ignition, and automatically when you turn that switch, that car going to start up. And this is the way the spiritual walk of God is. Automatically, you got an automatic walk in power when you know what he said that we ought to be doing in this day and age. Because God just wants to show us that I'm looking for somebody that I can use, you know, like you said, Aunt Deborah, what have you been through? Otherwise, you say, what's the scar? I don't want to follow a general that don't have no scars. They can have a lot of scars, but they need some scars. And so we follow after our servant, Yahshua, Jesus. Because he has the scar. He has the nail prints in his hand, the nail prints in his foot, and so as any other. And trying to give us anything other than that, if it's not the power in him, or power from him, then it's not the power of God. And there's so many people are good actors now. They act out this thing, and they can speak, you know, well in tongue, you know. They can and all of this, you know, and so it sounds good to people, but the Bible says you'll know them by the fruit they bear. So I'm trying to 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm trying to examine myself to make sure that all of my fruit, I did what God said to them. I'm not saying that I always was right, you know, but I always did what the Lord said concerning a child. Train up a child. So what other way do you train a child up if a child say that she is an evangelist? If I'm going to say that she's an evangelist, then therefore that means that she's a preacher. She's going to tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
Tell somebody about Jesus. I want to give her a platform where she can tell it to the nation.
Right.
You know, and these services that Shama do, they're going nationwide all over the world.
Amen.
Anybody that can push their computer and come to Chainbreaker. This the Shama room is called Chainbreaker. Break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. See, it's power in his name. So
We want to break chains. We don't want to just be just sad stuff, and you know, but we want to be able to give some word, and the person can go and pull it out of the scripture, you know, pull it out of the scripture and read it and see what is the understanding to them that they receive from this, you see, because God wants our life to be full. He wants our lives to be full as he said it's supposed to be, not we sitting around complaining about something that befell us. You know, nothing should change our praises with God. Nothing should change, amen, our praises toward God. You know, no matter what you're going through, you got to think about Daniel in Daniel the 6th chapter, how that Daniel, you know, it was a setup. You know, Daniel go in every day, 3 times a day, and fall out on his face before the Lord, and he prayed. And these spies, they always got somebody that's looking in your business. Get your hat for you. These spies, they just sought out Daniel and what Daniel was doing, so they thought that they would make a decree. So the Bible says that the president, the governor, the president, the governor, the counselors, and all of them, the king and everybody got together, and they came up with a decree. You got to read it in Daniel the 6th chapter. But the decree was that nobody would do anything to their God for 30 days when they hear a musical instrument or something, you know, for 30 days they couldn't give any privilege, nothing to their God, and they couldn't honor their God. They had to honor whatever the king had set up. And Daniel went in after he had heard that, he went in as he usually do, and he prayed. And so when they saw him doing it, they went and they told the king, said, King, you know, Daniel still disregard. They come and got Daniel, and straightway the king put him away. And the king told him, said, your God will save you. But what I love about it, what I get out of it, is that Daniel, he believed that God was going to make a way. So that God made a way, and you get amongst the live, living, big 1,200-pound lions, you know, 7 and 8 foot long lions, with you know, that's their profession, break bones and eat you. That's what they do. And Daniel was thrown in there, and the first thing Daniel did, I can imagine, he just walked in amongst them lives, because he had power. We have the power over the adversary today. He had that power over that lion, and so, amen, he didn't come with any fear. He just walked straight on in, because there wasn't nothing else for him to do but walk. What are you going to do, try to run from the lion? Ain't no running in that cave. And so Daniel just walked right over up in there amongst the lions like, hello. And the lion just went over their cone and laid down, because the lights went out. Must have been late up in the evening. King turned the lights out, and it was the end of Daniel. He told Daniel, your God will save you. But you got to read it, and you'll see that how that the end part of it, when the king came in there, he couldn't get no rest. God wouldn't give him no rest. You can't do wrong to God people to think that you're going to sleep and have rest. God say, amen, that he require the best of us. So if I ain't giving you my best, you know, then I haven't done anything. And so what's happening now is that the enemy is deceiving us. And then we want to preach and carry on and still go on and stuff like ain't nothing ever happened. We need to realize and recognize that this is not God. We are out of God's will. But people don't realize and recognize they are out of God's will, so they continue to have the same problem over and over. But Daniel had the assurance that it wouldn't going to be no problem. Same as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told the king, and even if he don't deliver us, see, even if God is not going to deliver me out of this thing, I'm still going to serve him anyhow, because I know too much about him to doubt it. And so I'm going to keep serving him, and that's the way Daniel was. We need to be steadfast today. I heard Shama talking about eternal damnation. Nobody is eternally damned automatically. People are damned because they refuse to obey. Some of them believe, but the Bible says their belief was mixed, and they had more. One believer said, "Help thou my unbelief." You know, it wasn't so much of his belief; it was his unbelief was trying to take over and mess up his direction that God had planned for his life. And that's the way the enemy is today. When God, amen, has planned something for you, Satan always is trying to get you out of what God said that he's going to bring you into. He gets you out of it in your mind, and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, it don't look like, you know, I better try to call over here and see if I can talk to Charles and see if he'll still do that for me. Because, you know, I don't want the lights cut off. You know, just any old thing. You know, it's that and a bunch of stuff that the devil be trying to work on God's people in their mind. Want to make us go back to what we were. Don't ever want us to believe that we can get ahead, as the Lord said. But you get ahead when you begin to think. It starts in the thinking realm. You got to think, and you got to believe that if the word of God said it, so I'm going to go eat. I put the butter in it for you and everything. Go ahead. Go ahead. You know, you have to believe. You know, you can't do nothing without God. But the more you make yourself available to people, to humans, because how do we serve God today? Do we serve God by reading the Bible and just going to church and paying tithes? Is that all it is? Oh, man, is that all it is, the Christian life? What about those that don't know it? Our light has to shine into darkness. The light comprehends the darkness. The light overtakes the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We are the light of the world. We are that city that sit on the hill that cannot be hid. Christians, they try and put cameras over them. Trying to blot out, to darken their religion, to darken their spiritual side of their life when they go into sinful things with sinners. You know, when they go and fraternize with the sinners and not only make themselves a part of them as far as being around them, they do what they do, and they all do the same thing. But yet, you know, I'm held to a high esteem even by them because they know that I know God. So they even say, you just pray for us. But I'm right in the midst doing the same thing they doing, but yet still they look to me as one that can get a prayer through. If they see me as one that can get a prayer through, don't you think that they would see the God in me? If I would quit doing the same thing that they're doing and yet be their friend, I don't have to stop coming around them, but I need to change. I need to change. I need to change my activity. I need to change my heart. Right. I need to change my way, my conversation. If God can put in me the strength to do that, to change around them, living in the same house with them, you know, that's an awesome God, and he can do it. He can change us. He can change us from the inside out because we're living in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, it says, this know that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, and they are that today. They don't love others the way they should. They would prefer to do it for their own self. Child, I'm working. And when that eye start coming out of your mouth, amen, it becomes singular and the lifestyle becomes selfish. One's lifestyle becomes selfish and all they care about is their own. And God wants us to show ourselves to the world in charity. And you're responsible for one another. You are responsible for one another. I don't care what they do. You may take a break. You may take a break from the foolishness that they bring, but you don't cut them off because God made you the way he made you to be able to go through the fire. You're going to go through five, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Paul, Joel. What person that would work for the king didn't go through some suffering? And we don't want to suffer. If you don't suffer, you can't die. You got to die to this world. This world, the Bible said, this world is passing away. If there's the pride of the eye, the lust of the flesh, he said, all of this is passing away. Everything you're looking at today, he said, it's going to leave. Your money's going to leave. Everything's going to pass away. What even if I was spouse? And don't get me wrong, God don't mean it like that, but I'm just showing you a scenario. If our spouse passed away and left us here, you know, sometimes I think that in the midst of a spouse dying in a tragic accident, it's probably better that they both would, you know, would go at the same time than the other don't have to grieve without the other one, because that's all he had, that's all she had is them. And they had God in the midst of the plan. But then the devil is so busy, since he's the prince and power of the air, he'll make a tragic accident and kill the wife and leave the wife standing and saw her husband, his wife. You know, I saw an accident like that about 15 years ago on Ritchie Road coming out of Walmart. When I come out there, somebody had come down through there and had hit this older couple in their 80s. And killed the husband, and the wife was life-flighted. I was like, Lord, have mercy. I was like, wow. That's all I could say was wow. So I say all that to say this, that the more that we allow God to work in us, work on, we for his purpose, you know, the scripture said that we were here for his good purpose. He has a plan that he wants to work through us, and if he don't get it through us, then who do he expedite his church to? How do he get his church to another body, a member of his body? I'm talking about members of his body. I'm talking about people that bleed, people that sold out, or people that's trying to sell out and come to know him and accept him as Lord. And all of them, I believe they're hoping that trust be tied up and wrapped up in that, you know, in this God. This wonderful Savior that we all talks about, we preach about in the church, him, God, and the Spirit of God shall come and tabernacle with him. Amen. I wouldn't mean it to come and preach behind Shama, but I guess that's what the Lord had planned. So it is. But I'm certainly blessed. I'm steady moving and getting ready so that I can get some off school. So everything is working as the Lord planned. You see how God can cause things to work? Hello?
Amen.
Hello. Amen. Amen.
God can work for your good. You see, in everything that we do, you know, you gotta go through a cycle. Everything is a cycle. It's a process. Just think about it. Okay, I got up, brushed my teeth. I'm going through my cycle. You see, I have my clothes, got my bath, my clothes, everything. You know, that's the process. That's the cycle. Take your vitamin, baby. That's the cycle that you have to go through. You look at Ecclesiastes 3 when King Solomon begins to talk about a tithe. I think it start off, how it starts off, Shama. For every season, for every season there's a time, for every time there's a season, and there's a time for everything, you see. And that's what this wonderful book that God had had scholars to write it down so that we can get it and understand it. We need to really, really, really ask the Lord to search our hearts today, you know, and if he finds anything that is not right, to remove it from us. And while we ask him to remove it, we got to remember, you know, we can't be like the the wheelchair patient rose up into Benny Hinn's program, and God, she run up out the wheelchair. He runs up out of the wheelchair, and he runs to Benny Hinn. She runs, and the anointing knocks her down on the floor. And she get up and run and jump and shout. And everybody, you and I and everybody else know that this woman been bound to this wheelchair. This brother been bound to this wheelchair. Gather your stuff up and bring it up here, honey. Been bound to this wheelchair. And God do a miracle. And then she get her son to load her wheelchair back up into the car. And she takes it home. And she sits right back down in that wheelchair. He gets right back in that wheelchair. And the affliction that they once was delivered from now beholds them again. It's like Aunt Deborah said. Aunt Deborah said that Terry Nay, she broke that vicious cycle that was over her mama's life. She took her straight out of a paraplegic state and stuck her straight behind a big U-Haul truck. And she drove herself out of her paralyzation. She drove, you know, I never did see it like that. Think about it. I've been intending to call you to and tell you so that you can tell the nurse that don't go but sitting back down that chair making that chair. If you can drive from here to Dallas to Arlington, you can walk.
That's all right.
If your legs, if both of your legs work for the accelerator and the brakes, then they can work to walk on. Get up and rise up and walk. God got somebody for you. But you know, God want to use your own. He want to use his own. He got to work with the family first. He got to work with the family. And so that's where it starts at. It starts at home. Sham, I know you're not in here going through books. You better try to.
Amen.
Ain't nothing there. Come out of there. Mama going to know you better than her stuff. Okay, get in and get out. Get the ribbon and get out of there. And so, you know, I was just thankful.